You are not required to remember what you were in the past birth. It's not necessary for your growth in this life. If it was necessary for you to remember, then nature would have been unjust to us by taking away the memory of the past life. We could have asked the nature, why are you so cruel that you don't tell me what I was in the past life, because that would be so important for me to remember. But if that is not important, what is important is simply what is the experience I gain. And if that is not blotted out, then it's perfectly natural and just. That is why many people argue, proof of rebirth is in what? In remembering the past births? Not at all. The proof of rebirth is how far your soul has experienced, how far naturally you react to the things in this birth, to so many things which are presented, how you react to them. That is what determines your present level of consciousness and the fact whether you have lived in the past birth or not. And even in the memory of past lives when it comes, you must have read perhaps what I gave you from Mother's writing, Memory of Past Lives, where Mother says, the memory of past lives is not of the nature that you were a baron in this past birth, or you were a gardener in that past birth, or that you had met such and such individual in the past birth, or anything of the kind. What you remember is what experience you gained, the quintessential experience you gained. Those moments where you really gained real experience of the relationship of the soul with the body, life and mind and other higher planes, and how to deal with them, how to control them, how to master them, how to build a temple of God out of these materials. Whatever has helped you to build that temple, that is remembered. Now we come to the last part. As you said, we have all agreed to enter into this kind of an enterprise. The enterprise is a goal. And that goal can be fulfilled if you learn through experience, which comes to us through karma. And what you learn out of this is the knowledge and skill, not only knowledge but also skill, of fashioning immortality. It's a new concept I am now introducing. The whole game on the earth is to fashion immortality on the earth. In the Veda there is a figure of Ribhu, R-I-B-H-U, Ribhu. Ribhu, R-I-B-H-U, Ribhu. There are many verses in the Veda which are concerning Ribhus. And if you read those verses, you find that they have succeeded in becoming artisans of immortality. They had become artisans of immortality. Just as if you want to build a big temple and you have to be an artisan to build the temple. Similarly, all of us actually have been asked to build the temple of immortality. When I said the manifestation of totality in the embodied individual, this long sentence can be summarized only in one sentence, in one word: to become artisan of immortality. We are here on the earth to be skillful artisans, masons, of fashioning immortality. To build, to construct, to fashion, to design such a structure, such a beauty, such a durability that it cannot disintegrate. So actually we are all here sent to be the artisans of immortality. We have to know what is immortality, and then we have to have the skill to build such structures which will be immortal. Now Ribhus were those forefathers of ours who had succeeded in attaining to this condition. They were successful missionaries, you might say. They accomplished their mission. One day we shall take up these Ribhus and see what is written about the Ribhus. But basically, they were capable of first knowing what is immortality. Now let us dwell a little on this knowledge of immortality. If you examine our life, the one thing that we dread most is disintegration. We are constantly trying to build, rebuild again, so that it may not break. Our entire enterprise in life is to build something and build permanently. When we fall sick, we do not like it because it's a disintegration. When there is a problem of relationship, we don't like it because it's a breaking of relationship. We don't like confusions in the mind because the clarity is disturbed. I build up a factory and then I try to make that factory more and more permanently secure and powerful. I build up an empire and make it unbreakable. This is the tendency of man all the time. His whole tendency is to make things integrated and permanent. But in our life we constantly find that things are developed to some extent, we build to some extent, then it breaks down. The minimum that we experience is death of the body. A body is born, we nourish the body, we do so many things for the body, and after some time, or after a long time, depending upon circumstances, that body disintegrates. And we feel as if the whole labor that was done in building up the body was gone, waste. We feel at least. I learned so many sciences, so many arts in my lifetime. When I die, what happens? All that is gone, as it were, finished, disintegrated. Many people therefore ask this question, if I am ultimately to die, then why to build at all? If ultimately everything is going to be disintegrated, why should I study? Why should I make so much of effort? Why should I do this? Or why not to commit suicide at all, altogether? Why to have this labor? The reason is that even if you commit suicide, rebirth is inevitable. If you are going to come out of it, fine, it's a good escape. Why this trouble? And why rebirth? Because we have intended to build immortality here. So until you succeed in building immortality, there is no escape from here. You have to cross over the death. Mrityum tirtva amritam ashnute. This is what you have seen in the Ishopanishad. Avidyaya mrityum tirtva amritena vidyaya amritam ashnute. By avidya you cross the death, and then by vidya you enjoy immortality. This is the goal for which we are here on this earth. So even if you find that there things are disintegrated, there must be some meaning. And we learn that from karma, certain things remain permanent, that is not lost. Certain experiences which are gained, they are not lost. But that is not enough. You have to reach a point where you know what is really immortal. What is mortality? What is immortality? What is disintegration? What is integration? This is the knowledge which is of the most important element. Now in this world, actually, everything is in a flux. In this mobile world, everything is in a flux. It's like a flame. The flame is never the same flame, because if you see the flame which is of this moment disappears. Another flame starts and takes the place of the former flame. It may seem to be the same flame, but actually it is new flames which are coming up all the time. It's like the river, as it is said, you can never step twice in the same river, because the movement of the river's flow is constant. The same waters don't remain at all, constantly present. So this world is a mobility of this kind. So you might say that change is a very fundamental nature of this world. In this movement of change, to talk of immortality may seem to be quite irrelevant. So we must understand what we mean by immortality. Take this body itself, for example. This body is constantly changing. The cells are constantly being born and constantly being washed away. Cells are constantly renewing themselves. So the body is constantly being renewed. So you might say that we are dying every moment, basically. And every moment we are being reborn. And yet we don't call it death. What's the reason? What is the difference between this death, which is constantly experienced, and that death as a result of which you burn the body afterwards? What's the difference between the two? Similarly, with regard to other personalities, of the vital, of the mental, all the personalities are constant flux. No personality remains the same forever. It's constantly changing. This is the answer to this question.